Welcome to Spill the Tea with Pastor Tim Cruz, where we discuss topics relating to the Bible, life, and leadership. We pray that you're encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's discussion.
What's up, everybody? I have the distinct honor, privilege, and opportunity to not only interview one of Southern New England's most amazing pastor and leaders, but one of my favorite people, but also I would consider a brother and a friend that I can call of Tim Cruz. And I am just so honored to have Kevin Zurica, our Youth Alive Southern New England ministry rep, here with us this evening. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Hey, it is going well, my friend. Thank you so much for the opportunity for me just to be a part of this project, a part of this podcast, and to maybe share a little bit, spill the tea, if you will, about just some of my life and what God's doing and how God is moving in New England.
Absolutely. And why don't we start off first with, why don't you tell us a little bit of your story so people can understand how you ended up from Pittsburgh to here?
Yeah. Oh, how much time do we got? No, I'll give the cliff notes. All right. The cliff notes. So I was actually born in Los Angeles, raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's still my hometown. Go Steelers. We got a good year coming out.
Take it easy. All right, buddy.
We started off strong. We had a little blip, but we're coming back. So born in Los Angeles, raised in Pittsburgh, graduated high school, little school, graduating class of 60 students, 6-0 students.
Wow.
Tiny little school, Union High School, Union Scotties represent. Really God called me out to go to school at Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. It's the school that no longer exists. It got eaten up by Evangel University. I'm not bitter about that at all. Not one bit of bitterness. If you can sense a sarcasm in my voice, but Jesus will forgive me.
That's right. Amen. Gloria a Dios.
So graduated there 2011, and I went down to work with a guy by the name of Mike Holt down in Georgia. Was out in down in Macon, Georgia for a little bit. Did some ministry down there, missions work. We took 16 young adults from the ages of 18 to 20 to 22. We took them on 20 missions trips in 10 months. And really worked, invested a ton of time, my whole heart into the ministry. But then God was calling me to local church ministry. I started looking around. I almost took a job out in California, ended up coming up to Connecticut. Praise God, by the grace of God.
Amen.
I ended up coming up feeling called to New England. And I worked at a church as a youth pastor for 3 years in youth ministry, got connected into the youth culture of New England, the youth culture of this area. Connected well with our DYD, Heath McCoy. And then God started doing something different. I started to sense, I might not be at this church much longer. Things were going great. I had a kid rocking youth group. I loved my students. I loved the staff I was with. I had a great, it was just an awesome job. And I don't even really consider it a job. It was a joy just to be a youth pastor at this church. And I remember God just speaking to my heart and saying that I'm not going to be there much longer. And just through various things, I won't get into all the finer details, but I had a couple of people praying for me, and I received a phone call from Kentucky, decided not to go to Kentucky, and God confirmed that I would be doing Youth Alive here in Southern New England. Through multiple different avenues, multiple different ways. God just confirmed it on my heart. Just for reference, the process of becoming a U.S. missionary takes months and months and months.
Yeah, that's a big process.
God confirmed it through multiple ways, multiple people, different people. God confirmed it on my heart. People I hadn't even been talking about it to. And then in a matter of a month and a half, I had everything in. I had done all the tests, all the paperwork, everything, had all the meetings. In a month and a half, I was ready to go to Springfield, Missouri, for my initiation into being a Youth Alive missionary. And so God just confirmed it all. The process was so smooth. Like, you know, like people sometimes talk about the struggle and the difficulty to get to where you believe that God's called you. Like for me, God swung every door, like opened up a way in the wilderness, right? A path to get to where God called me to be. And that's what I'm doing now, man, working in Youth Alive and loving every minute of it. For reference, my first year at college, I told one of my good friends, I said, I was introduced through her to a Youth Alive missionary. And I looked at her and I said, after he had gone, I looked at her and I said, that man has my dream job. Mm. That was my freshman year at college. And then 4 years outside of college, God opened up the opportunity to be a Youth Alive missionary, to do my dream job. It just goes to show, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll add these things unto you. And so God's just been faithful, man.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I definitely have seen God's hand over your life since when you first came up here to how he has been using you. So why don't you in that transition, why don't you talk to us a little bit about your role in Youth Alive, mm-hmm. and how you are taking advantage of that in Southern New England?
Oh, for sure. So, you know, so let me just talk about Youth Alive for a little bit. Youth Alive, our whole vision, our purpose, we work to mobilize the local church to impact the public, private, and homeschools in their communities with the gospel. And we do that through four different ways in New England. Now, every Youth Alive missionary, it's a national organization. There are Youth Alive missionaries all over. Every district does things differently, focuses on things differently. We really focus up here in New England on four things. The first is this, is personal evangelism, one-on-one, student-to-student discipleship, student-to-student evangelism, students reaching their peers for Christ. That's on the school campus. That's what happens. We send our students every day into modern day temples of Dagon. And I talk about this all the time. The schools are a temple of false idols. And every day we send our students into these schools. But what can happen is when we send them with the power of the Holy Spirit, when we send them with the tools necessary, when we send them with the mobilization, with the support, with the backing, with the prayer, with the Spirit of God working in and through them, man, they are carriers of the Holy Spirit into those modern day temples of Dagon, and they can change the environment. That is the primary focus of Youth Alive in Southern New England. But we also do the development of Bible clubs, and the partnership between churches and schools. So I talk about Youth Alive and reaching the public schools. Everyone thinks teenagers, which is totally cool. Like, teenagers are the bulk of who's on those campuses. But we also have teachers, administrators, professionals, young and old. We have counselors, psychologists, coaches, custodial staff. We have everybody in the community on that school campus, political leaders on that school campus, parents on that school campus, the PTO. We got influencers on that campus. And so I work to develop strategies how the local church, the adults of the church, can impact the school. So we impact the holistic mind. We have a holistic mindset of reaching the school. Then we do the development of Bible clubs and the Seven Project. Now, I kind of breeze over those because those, to me, come as a result of those first two, of students reaching students and pastors and the local church impacting the public school through strategic means. But it's quite simple. The schools, school Bible clubs, it's students starting a Bible club, whether that's on the school campus or after school hours at a Dunkin' or something, you know, or at their house or whatever that looks like. I see it as like a mini church planting initiative. I want mini churches and mini church planters on every school. There's 1,656 public middle and high schools in Southern New England. And I want every single one of them with a young church planter. And I'm talking 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, planting churches on their school campus. And I think that that's a powerful statement to say, I believe in the next generation. And I know you do too, Tim.
That's right.
I know you do too, man. We're like-minded, have similar hearts in this. And I want to see that happen. So I help resource that. And then the Seven Project is a school assembly program. We haven't started that or launched much of it yet, but it's a dynamic school assembly program built around leadership and character development.
And it's definitely been noticeable to see pre-COVID the amount of work that you have been able to put in and see God move in ways that have been just totally phenomenal. Now, this wouldn't be 2020 without, you know, craziness. How has it been reaching the schools, reaching students in COVID?
Yo, it's been wild, man. I'll tell you what, it's been insane because like schools are canceled, right? Like they're not canceled, but in-person classes, if you're not hybrid, you're 100% virtual, and then they're alternating, like schedules are jacked. People don't know what's going on. Parents are confused as to what's going on. Teachers had to learn a completely new method of pedagogy, had to learn a new way of teaching, had to learn instantly. And so it's been just a wild ride, man. The first thing I did was this, is how do we as the church provide a resource to the schools? When all this happened, man, everyone was caught off guard. And I just began to pray and call every pastor in the district, get on Zoom conference calls, and just try to share like, hey, we need to be reaching out to our superintendents and saying, whatever you need to do, we're here for you. This is when COVID first hit, where no one knew what was going on. I said, contact your local representatives, your superintendent of schools, your principal, and ask them to to come and be a guest via Zoom on your church Zoom call. Why? Because I think that the church can be a powerful means of disseminating information. Mm. You know, how many people do that? Everyone needed information, and the church can reach people that are from a different demographic, maybe, or a different circle of people than the superintendent just putting out an email to parents, right? How can we as the church be a support to the local school? After all of that went down, summer started looking into what we could do for the summer. I started talking about mental health. You know, we saw an increase in mental health issues arising with COVID-19, people stuck in the houses. So how could we do that? So I worked with pastors to say, like, have a, you know, I think I even used you as an illustration on one of the calls, Tim. I said, you know, you could have a time where you schedule it with your students and it's a walk with Pastor Tim. And we're not allowed to go, you know, at the time, we're allowed to be in separate households and separate groups coming together. But like maybe Skyping or Zooming or conference call or video chat as you're on a walk outside. Because, you know, I brought in some of the science and the studies of being outdoors with the sun helps elevate your serotonin levels and like all of these things started. So go on a walk with a pastor where it's just you and look, pastors, we get a benefit of it. We get to talk to our students independently, and we also get some exercise in, get our steps in, bro. Like,
that's right.
You know, and then this school year came about, and I started, you know, I travel around to churches, and I just started saying, like, schools are in need of tutors. If you have a skill, if you have basic knowledge of mathematics, of algebra, of science, of, you know, writing, of all of these things, or if you, you know, if you can do essays well, if God gifted you in that way, I'm telling church people, pastors, everyone, like, schools are asking for more tutors to help, to come alongside. So, and I don't just say it, like, I currently serve as a tutor for seniors in Cambridge Public Schools. I volunteer as a tutor in essay writing and college essay writing and filling out applications and filling out FAFSAs and doing scholarship essays and those sorts of things. Like, I volunteer for that. So it's a matter of finding the ways you can serve the school in creative means. Youth Alive developed a worksheet, not a worksheet, but a guide sheet with multiple different ways. And on there's like thinking about equity and access. COVID showed that there are great inequities to people who didn't recognize or realize it have begun to recognize and realize the inequities between individuals, even our neighbors in same communities. It was just assumed that everybody had internet access. It was just assumed everybody had computers. It was just assumed, all these things were just assumed, that we could just go virtual very easily. And we found out that that's not the case.
Yep.
Not everybody has access to a computer. Not everybody has access to internet. So one of the things that I also suggested was calling up the school and letting the school know that you can open up your church based upon your governor, your state regulations. Churches have classrooms. Churches have volunteers. And so it was, maybe you can set up your church as like a schooling hotspot where students could come in. There was a facilitator in the room that just sat there and let students be on their computers doing schoolwork using the church's internet. I don't know too many churches that don't have internet, but it's just, it's something we could do as the church to open it up as an opportunity to serve the community. Take all the regulations and everything and utilize those and make sure you're not, make sure that you're protecting against the spread of COVID. Take all the precautions necessary. But if your church, if you're comfortable with it, what can we do to reduce the inequity and the learning gaps between socioeconomic status, between racial identity, gender identity, those sorts of things? How can we work to remove or to at least work towards fighting against the learning gap and the inequities that are there? So that's what I've been doing, man. Just going around and having these conversations with pastors, sharing it through various district Zoom meetings, and saying, how can we give back to the community?
So one thing I kept hearing you say, and you just said it, giving back to the community. Now, let's say you have a group of parents or leaders that you are connected with that are not necessarily a pastor or a youth leader or a children's leader, but they're part of a church.
Yeah.
How would you encourage non-church leaders to be active in their local schools? Or how would you encourage them to get involved? Like, I know you mentioned about maybe churches use it as a site for tutoring, for local gathering areas. Like, but what are some practical ways that people can just get involved with schools properly and through the right protocols that would help reach students for Jesus?
Yeah. So one of the primary things that I think sets Youth Alive apart from a lot of other campus ministry organizations is the focus on the local church. Youth Alive doesn't exist to replace the local church in any form or fashion, but God called me out of missions when I was in Georgia to the local church. Then God called me out of the local church to missions. And that was a funky thing that I was like wrestling with, like, God, if you called me out of missions into the local church, why are you now calling me out of the local church into missions? But I realized the mission God has me in now isn't a mission apart from, but a mission in support of the local church. And to go into missions now, into what I do, I firmly believe to get in the local church to reach the schools. The local church is the focus, is the focal point of ministry and leadership development to the schools. And that's my heart and my mission. So I do say a lot about the local church, get involved and the local church make that move. But let me speak to those who are at a local church and maybe your pastors aren't buying onto this train. Okay, let's just be real. Your local pastor isn't buying onto this train of let's impact the local schools. And give them my phone number. But
that's funny.
But how can you do it? One of the ways I think plainly is that tutoring. The way schools are now, they're restricting who's on campus, who's interacting with students. But virtual tutors, again, are definitely needed in schools. So I'll give an example of what happened to me and how this is actually impacting students with the gospel. Number one, you're just selflessly serving. That's number one. But you can't proselytize, right? I can't get on a tutoring call and be like, let me tell you about Jesus. Like, these kids got to do their math homework, right? But I get on these calls and I just ask my students that I'm on these calls with, students that aren't a part of a youth group. They're just students at a school. And I just ask them, how are you doing? Before anything starts, how's it going? How are things going? Are you in a safe place? Are you in a place where you're able to do effective work today and taking care? I had a student tell me once one student told me he was thinking about dropping out of school, and I was able to share with him, you know, alternatives to dropping out, that maybe that wasn't the best choice for him. Now, to some students, that might be the best choice. In all honesty, it might be, but weigh all different options, not just either go to school and fail or drop out and work at, you know, Stop and Shop. There was another kid, how this is spreading the gospel. Another kid was talking to me and he was looking down, and I asked him, are you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm good. It's just, I haven't talked to my dad in 3 to 4 years, and he randomly out of the blue just called me. That's a kid that's a student that is dealing with things emotionally in that moment, maybe even spiritually in that moment. And I just expressed care and concern, talked with him about some of those things, shared some experiences that I've had, and even shared with him, like, look, I'm not just a tutor, you know. I'm a firm believer in the redemptive work of Jesus and these sorts of things. And I said, now, I don't have to talk about it. You could tell me just to zip it and move on, and I'm cool with that. But I want to let you know that I care about you, not just because of my care, but because I know a God who cares. Mm. And he said, no, it's fine. Like, I want you to bring he told me, I want you to bring who you are. I think this is valuable to our conversation. And now we ended up doing some math problems, finishing out the day. A couple of weeks later, we started a conversation and he started asking me about church, right? He started asking me. So it's these small ways of showing you care, of showing your concern and your love, that can open up opportunities that you're not even, you can't even fathom. Like, I'm literally there to help him write a college essay. That's wow. My job. But he's opening up to a trusted adult about issues he's facing. And I'm able then to share from my heart what that means in light of a Christian perspective. So, especially getting to Christmas, he wanted to talk a lot about the Jesus narrative, yeah. about Jesus, because he doesn't go to church, doesn't have any faith or anything like that. Man, he was so curious, but it led to some really awesome conversations, and that's how average regular adults can get involved in impacting the school. Send encouraging notes to your students as teachers. Like I said, they had to learn a new pedagogy, how to teach in a virtual format immediately. They had to learn a whole new style of teaching, how to keep the kids involved and learn all of this stuff. It's wild what they had to do. Send an encouraging note. Maybe send them a gift basket. I know parents, you might feel that like, man, I'm just going to take my kid out to homeschool because I feel like all I'm doing is fighting with them to do their schoolwork. Yeah. Right. Like, but these teachers, some of them, if you're in a hybrid school system, like some of these teachers are literally putting themselves at risk. Like, let's be honest, putting themselves at risk by going into the school. And teaching in-person classes. Like, these teachers deserve a lot of respect and like a lot, it takes bravery and courage, right? To really want schools to continue. And these educators are doing what they can with what's been handed to them to continue the education of our young people. So I think we're heavily indebted to our teachers. And I think we need to pay them more, but I'll get off that soapbox.
Yeah. So let me ask you this last question before we wrap up. How is it different ministering in New England compared to any other country, any other place in our country?
Oh my, New England is a beast.
My Atlanta.
New England is a beast. But let me just start off with something that might be discouraging, but ended on the good note of what I see, the trend that I see. I have a ministry coach, a pastoral coach. He used to be a missionary to Europe, Belgium, Brussels, Belgium. And if you know anything about Europe, like it's so far post-Christian, it's so far post post-secularism, it's so far steeped in secularism. And when I talk with him, we talk about what it's like up here and the people I encounter, the churches I encounter, the school system, the government system, you name it. And he tells me how familiar it all sounds because it sounds like Europe when he was there, 25, 30 years ago.
Yep.
As the church was in decline and secularism was on the rise, he said, man, it's so familiar. And that breaks my heart because I see the rich heritage that New England has in the faith. But at the same time, what I see in our young people,
go ahead.
What I see in our young people is such an encouragement to me because they got that New England, I don't care what people think.
That's right.
You know what I mean? They got that New England feel of I'm going to state what's on my mind. I'm not going to say bless their heart and then state what's on my mind or state what's on and bless. I'm going to tell you straight up what it's about and how it's happening. And if you don't like it, that's your problem, right? That's the Boston. That's the New England. That's the mindset we got. But what I see is it's that mobilization of when they feel empowered and equipped. And I think it's a young people thing. It's a youth culture thing where they're breaking barriers and they're taking action. They're speaking their minds. They're getting the word out. And the social media aspect of it, where students are sharing on social media like TikTok. Let's just go to TikTok for a moment. Say all you want about TikTok, but I know some believing young people who are on TikTok making an impact for the kingdom of God.
Yep.
And you scroll through TikTok, and yeah, you'll see some of the crazy, stupid, inappropriate crap that's on there. But what you'll also see is you'll see people sharing the faith and the gospel of Jesus on TikTok. In powerful ways. Their innovation, the strategy, it's so encouraging what I see. And not just that, not just me looking at young people and being encouraged by their tenacity, but what's encouraging to me is I have the pleasure of meeting and talking with other campus ministry leaders. You know, meeting with people from FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, people from Young Life, people from First Priority, these different campus ministry organizations. And I've sat with them and I listen to them and we share with one another and we talk. And anyone who works in campus ministry in New England has the very same prophetic vision that revival is on the cusp. And it's due to that tenacious spirit of New England and the tenacity of young people and the passion that rears its head with, it rears its fire in their bellies. Mm. And that is ignites so powerfully, so passionately, so boldly, so hot. And those that work in campus ministry see it, and everyone talks about it, that we're climbing up to the pinnacle, to the peak of where it, we're right on the cusp of something great on campus ministry in young people, in youth culture in New England. Every single campus ministry leader that I have talked to has shared that same prophetic vision and the same prophetic mission, that the young people are speaking out in ways they never have before. And although it seems in the church world, maybe, and you can't see this because it's a podcast, but I just did air quotes around church world. Those who are in the church world have this idea that it's so difficult here in New England. But those scales have been removed from my eyes once I take a step back and I look at the young people that are here. Not focusing on what we don't have, but focusing on what we do have and seeing the Christ moment, the cross moment, the one aspect that changes everything in the life of a young person, and that passion and zeal, and how God is using that to transform this entire region. Mm. There are many revivals happening all across New England, and it's led by young people.
That's good.
And I see that, I hear that. Man, and I talk about it until I'll talk about it until my last breath. But I think the challenge is that church leaders to remove the scales that are blinding them from being innovative, blinding them from being creative, blinding them, because there's scales of it's so difficult here. Buck up, Buttercup. Like, let's get this thing rolling. We look at the early church, and I'm Pentecostal to the core. Like, you know me, Tim. So buck up, Buttercup. Like, we got the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Let's go and make something happen. Let's do something happen. Let's go with the power of God and the Holy Spirit and do something that transforms. The transforming power of the cross cannot be drowned out by culture. So the only way that happens is if we let it happen. And so an encouragement to me is taking those scales off of my eyes, not looking at what we don't have or what we're lacking in New England, but looking at what we do have. And we have a generation of young people, 1.25 million teenagers just in this small little region that are full of zeal and passion. And if they can turn that zeal and passion towards the passion of Christ, man, that just transforms everything.
That's powerful. That is powerful. And I you've hit on so many good topics. And I could tell you, Southern New England, New England is blessed to have you with us here. So we appreciate you taking the time today to go through this and really share the wisdom and knowledge of reaching students, reaching this generation for the kingdom of God. Now, let me just ask one random thing, because I know you're not only a youth alive connoisseur, but you speak my language. What is your favorite food? What's your favorite food? And you got to pick one. And this is not a dissertation. This is one item.
All right. I'll say this for multiple reasons. I love me some spaghetti squash.
Wow.
Let me just say, I could have said tacos. I could have said like steak. I could have said whatever.
Yeah.
Because those are all good. But I just love me some spaghetti squash, man. Some spaghetti squash with, you know, with it can either be a homemade pasta sauce. We got them Italians up here in New England, right? They make some bomb pasta sauce. Or if you don't got that homemade Italian pasta sauce, go to Stop and Shop. Find yourself some Rao's pasta sauce, R-A-O. Mm. It's the best stuff on the shelf. And it can be with like meat, chicken, whatever you want to put on it, beef, chicken, ground beef, whatever. But like, I'll tell you what, it's healthy. It's good. If you want to do it vegan, you can do it vegan. Y'all don't know. I used to do vegan Mondays where I was only vegan on Monday.
I can't believe you you did that.
So like... But I'll be honest, spaghetti squash, man, if it's done well, it's done well.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you sharing that. this is sponsored by Rao's Pasta Sauce. We can't wait for you to try it. But Kevin, why don't you close us out in prayer before we say goodbye and head out?
Yes, yes. Let's pray. Father God, you are gracious and good. You're merciful and loving. God, thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice you paid on the cross. Holy Spirit, thank you for empowering us, teaching us, guiding us. So God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to have eyes to see the vision with the eyes of Christ, to see in this generation the impact that you're having, to see in this generation the power that is present, to see the passion and zeal. Not as something that needs to be tamed or controlled, but God, that the passion and zeal wouldn't be tamed or controlled, but that it would be launched with a purpose. God, I pray that you would use the passion, zeal, the excitement, the energy of our young people to create a wave, a movement across this region. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless every church, every pastor, every student that wants to make an impact on the schools, open up their eyes to see ways of impacting their peers, their friends, their colleagues for Christ. God, I pray you would open up opportunities for sharing of the gospel, and that the gospel would transform lives in Southern New England. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, Kevin, thank you for taking the time today. Really appreciate all that you do and all that you continue to do. Thanks for spilling the tea with us tonight. We really appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to spill the tea anytime.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to follow us to stay connected and updated on future episodes as we spill the tea with PT.